Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 CY 2022 earnings conference call of Schaeffler India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Gauri Kanikar. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining Schaeffler India Limited's earnings conference call for the second quarter and six months ended 30th June 2022. We have with us from the management Mr. Harsha Kadam, our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Satish Patel, our Director of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Kadam will first take us through a short presentation on the results, after which we open the floor for questions. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kadam.
Thank you, Gauri. Good morning to all of you. A very warm welcome to this investor call and presentation for the second quarter and the six-month ending for the year 2022. I have with me Satish.
Yes, hello. I'm Satish Patel. Good morning and warm welcome to all of you.
Before I get into the presentation flow, I wish to take the opportunity to sincerely thank you for accommodating the change in time of our investor call, and let us truly appreciate it. Let me now get into the call and, as I'm on the first slide, I move to the slide on the agenda, wherein I would like to cover some time on the economy and the industry and give you a background as to the changes that we have seen since the last quarter. Then I would like to touch upon the business highlights for the second quarter and the six-month year ending. After which I will take you through the financial performance of Schaeffler India for the second quarter as well as for the six-month period. Lastly, I would like to touch upon another subject which is very dear to Schaeffler globally and also in India, and that is about ESG, where we have started to take some measured steps already in the direction on the journey towards ESG. Let me get into the slide on the economy and the industry. I'm on the slide which is talking about the economy and the industry. Well, we have been seeing a lot of changes on the macroeconomic scenarios, and I'm sure all of you are well updated about the developments globally as well as locally. Now, having said that, the GDP, which is projected to grow at 8%, already there have been talks of some amount of moderation here, considering the fact with all the geopolitical developments that are happening in the West and the chip shortages which still continue to affect businesses in many areas today. With all that, we still believe that India continues to show the resilience despite the elevated levels of inflation, which we are already facing with the oil prices still continuing to stay pretty high and with the continued global winds still continues to show a downside to the risk to the growth story, but definitely it is not a total collapse of the growth story that we see. When you look at the industrial production, definitely a 5.9% of growth that you are seeing there. It's a moderate growth, but then it's still a strong growth when compared to the uncertainties that prevail around us. When you look at the electricity and the power generations, which I will come to a little later, you will see that the industrial growth still continues to remain on track and progress well. Talking about the automotive production, what you see with the 14.3% growth in the second quarter, you will see that when compared to the last quarter, of course, the last quarter reference was due to the fact that we had the wave two last year. You will see a double-digit growth here. Nevertheless, there has been a strong rebound from the auto OEM manufacturers in terms of vehicle production numbers coming in the second quarter of this year. One definite concern has been the depreciation of the rupee, and surely that's going to push the inflation levels up, which we are already there. And now, are the inflation levels going to dampen the growth story or moderate the growth story? And to what extent will it get moderated? It's a question of time, and the measured steps that the government is planning to intervene and take to correct the inflation levels in the country. Moving on, I move to the next slide, which talks about the core sector performance. And what you see here is good sustained performance from the industry sector. If when you look at the cement production, when you look at the first 5 month period, you will find that the cement sector has definitely performed better than the same period last year with 11.6% growth story. Top of steel, and there again we see a positive growth to the extent of 6.6%. Coal production and mining has been picking up pretty well with 11% growth when compared to last year. What is also heartening is to see the power generation in the country, which has been at a pretty good level, especially in the second quarter beginnings. You would have seen that the April and May months have registered pretty strong power generation in the country, clearly indicating to the increased economic activity in the country. Moving on, I would talk a little bit about the automotive sector, and this is where you see a mixed bag coming out. When you look at the two and three wheelers, the first quarter of this year and the second quarter, you would see the second quarter some small recovery beginning to happen already there. Although if you just see the moderate growth over last year is also still just about 1.7%. But nevertheless, it is definitely showing a positive upward trend. What with the festival season that is coming up in the next quarter, it needs to be seen how this sector is going to perform. Look at the passenger vehicles, and here again we are seeing some signs of recovery with some of the big OEMs. And clearly the number speaks for themselves. With May and June, with about 338,000 vehicles being produced in the country and 367,000 respectively for May and June, registering a clear 15.1% for the six-month period that we compared with the previous year. Commercial vehicles did definitely have some slowdown in the month in between April and June in the second quarter when compared to the first quarter. But nevertheless, compared to the last year same period, you will find a clear 52% growth in production numbers in the commercial vehicle sector. Tractors, which for the last three quarters, previous quarters, excluding the quarter two of this year, we had seen that it was on a downslide, has turned around, and we have seen the tractor production in the country crossing the 100,000 number for the month, in the month of June. And thereby, narrowing down the gap that was there compared to the levels that the sector was in the previous years. After registering a strong growth, we have now seen in the second quarter a small recovery on the tractor segment. And with the good monsoons that is prevailing in the country now, we believe that this sector should continue to show the positive growth trend going forward as well. I now come to the business highlights for the second quarter and the 6 month ending. So in summary, what we saw was a very strong sales development across all the businesses we Schaeffler India play the game in. And we had some good and sustained business wins, which we continue to work with some of our prestigious automotive OEMs and also our industrial customers, and which I will talk to you in the next slides. And in terms of our financial performance, we have been able to maintain the consistency that we have been delivering in the last few quarters successively. And also, we were able to increase our CapEx spend in the quarter, which I will come to the numbers in the next few slides. One important activity that we had initiated and which came to a closure in this quarter is the divestment and hiving off of the chain drive business globally. And we now completed the formalities in terms of a business transfer agreement with Ketensis India, who is the new owner of this business now. and that was concluded in this quarter. On the sustainability front, Schaeffler, as you all know, stands committed to its carbon neutrality targets to get to zero by the year 2040. And with that, we have taken measured and focused targets across the globe, and India is no exception to that. And having said that, sustainability being at the core of what we do, we have now initiated some more actions and events have taken place, which I will talk to you. Two such events I would like to cover in the call today. Of course, it goes without saying the efforts that the Schaeffler India team is putting in to deliver the best quality products with the good performance levels and also innovative solutions. The customers have recognized with a number of awards. Just to take an example, in the second quarter alone, we had four such prestigious awards coming from very important customers, clearly indicating the focus that we have brought on quality, not just of the product, but of our services, and also the agility in the entire value chain that we have brought in to ensure the customers are serviced better than before. I would also like to point out that we still continue to see headwinds. Input costs continue to grow up. With the steel price increases that came in the second quarter, the pressures definitely on the input cost became a little more visible, and not to mention the inflation that is prevailing in the country, which to some extent becomes a dampener in terms of the demand. With that, so how was the performance? As you can see, we closed the second quarter with 1,748.8 crores in terms of revenue. That was a clear 41.8% higher than the same period last year, same quarter last year. And if one were to look at the performance comparing to the Q1 of 2022, we posted much better, 11.6% better than the previous quarter. Talk of the EBIT margin, and here again, we were able to bring in 274 crores to the bottom line. And clearly, as you can see, that's 15.7% was the EBIT margin in the second quarter. And when you compare that with the same period last year, we were at 13%, a significant jump in the EBIT margin in the last 1 year. Obviously, this has come on the backdrop of our mix, as well as the sales revenue that we have been able to generate. Not to mention, of course, the cost control measures and countermeasures that we have put in place, which we continue to sustain. The profit after margin, as you can see here, was 225.8 crores coming into the system, and the profit after tax margin of 12.9% in the second quarter was definitely better than the 10.4% which was there the last year, same quarter. On the free cash flow, as if you remember, the last quarter we were in a negative, marginally negative free cash flow situation. This quarter, in the second quarter, we have corrected that, and we have been able to bring in about 80 crores of cash into the system. Having said that, of course, we still have some way to go in this, and clear focus and actions are in place to recover the situation of the free cash flow. I move to the next slide, where I would like to highlight some of the key business wins that we were able to get in this quarter, and our clear focus on penetrating more and more into the electric vehicle segment has started to pay off. Even with our foundation products like bearings and clutches and transmission products, we have been able to make inroads into the e-vehicle applications as such. So some key wins in the commercial vehicle sector, and some of the passenger vehicle sectors for the wheel bearing applications, not to mention, of course, in the clutch system as well, we have been able to make some penetrations here. Talk of the automotive aftermarket, and here we continue our journey by adding a new product every quarter, like we have been doing every quarter, and some business wins that we secured as a result of the products that we launched in the previous quarter on the front end auxiliary drives, on the timing kits, and so on. We have also added a new product in the second quarter called the center joint support, This is only going to augment our portfolio and ensure that the growth story in the automotive aftermarket continues. Coming into industrial, here again, we have continued to leverage the linear guides center that we have put up in Baroda, and this is now beginning to generate improved business results for us as well, because we have a localization drive is clearly in that direction, and we have continued to do that. Not to mention, of course, the angular contact ball bearings that we have begun to now manufacture locally as well. So this is enabling us to get some wins within the two-wheeler sector and the industrial on the machine tool industry sector. And not to mention, of course, the wins that we have secured on the cylindrical roller bearings and the spherical roller bearings in the off-road segments, which we have succeeded to gain in the second quarter. I move to the next slide, and this is a little more light that I wish to throw on the divestment of the chain drive business. As you all know, we were manufacturing this product in our Pune plant, and the rationale behind the carve-out and divestment has been a strategic direction that globally, Schaeffler, we are moving in the direction of the new technology shifts that are happening, be it the electric vehicle technology that is going to replace the IC engine, as well as the fuel cells technology that is also going to come on board of the mobility sector. So having said that, we have started off the journey towards transitioning our manufacturing footprints as well in the direction of the new emerging technology. And this is clearly coming on the back of our commitment that we want to become carbon neutral by the year 2040. So the sale to Cadences India Private Limited was executed and the business transfer agreement was formalized on the 29th of June 2022. And now the entire business, chain drive business, where the revenue of the business in 21, as you can see, was about 107 crores. With a net worth of about 15 crore net worth. And on a slump sale, this was transferred out to Cadences India business. Moving on, I would like to come into the financial highlights for the second quarter and also some color on the 6 month results. So I am on the slide which is talking about the revenue from operations, and as I said earlier, for the quarter, second quarter, we have been able to deliver 1,748.8 crores in terms of sales revenue, which is a clear 11.6% better than the previous preceding quarter and a 41.8% better than the same period last year. Now, just to throw some light on where is this revenue coming from, and if you were to look at, refer to the graph below, the revenue bridge, So second quarter 2021, we were able to develop 1,232 crores. And that in this quarter, we have been able to give 1,748 crores, out of which the large contribution came from the automotive technology area, 195 crores coming from auto tech, 52 crores coming from the automotive aftermarket, and 161 crores coming from the industrial sector. Exports too has brought in about 106 crores. So all in all, as you can see, that all our business verticals have posted a positive development in terms of growth. Look at the sectoral split. Obviously, the automotive technologies has been able to grow pretty strong. And when compared to the same quarter of Q2 last year, a 40.2%, automotive aftermarket grew by 54.4%. and industrial by 33.7%, and export has been a clear focused area for us, and we have posted in the second quarter also, when compared to Q2 of last year, a clear 62% growth. At a half yearly level, automotive technologies continues with a growth of about 22%, and automotive aftermarket at about 34%, and industrial coming in at about 28%, exports clearly at 61.6%. So, to sum it up, our business mix, which is a very good balanced portfolio that we have, as you can see from the pie chart below, with 39% of our business revenue coming from automotive technology, 37% coming from our industrial, and exports, which we have seen some significant growth in the last couple of quarters, and the automotive aftermarket hovering around 9 to 10% of our business. So the business portfolio, which is pretty well balanced, helps us to continue to sustain the growth story. Moving forward, some light on the earnings quality that you see here. As I said earlier, we've been able to bring in about 274 crores by the numbers, posting a 15.7% EBIT margin. When you compare that with the first quarter, which was at 16.6, definitely there is a small drop in the EBIT margin. However, this is attributed to the steel price increases that began to come in the second quarter, and the provisionalization that we have to do to that effect. So it's only a marginal drop that we are seeing. Otherwise, you will see that the growth story still continues here again. The quarter on quarter growth in terms of value has been about 5.3%, and a year on year growth at a level of almost 71%. So having said that, so where is this EBIT margin coming from? The 274 crores versus the 160 crores that was delivered last year, same quarter. The maximum contribution has come in 175 crores coming in because of the sales revenue that we have generated, as well as the countermeasures that we have put into place in terms of managing our overheads and costs, not to mention, of course, the recovery of the steel prices that we are already on the journey. We did have some impact, marginal impact on the employee cost, and this is coming on the back of the expansions that we have been doing, with more people coming into the on the roles of the company. And of course, we do have some other incomes which is marginally impacted, but nevertheless has still been a sustained growth story in terms of the EBIT margin. Talk about the profit after tax. As you can see, we've been able to deliver 12.9% the margin of PAT margin, which is slightly lower than 13.2 that we delivered in Q1. But however, when I look at the quarter-on-quarter growth in value terms, you still find that we have delivered 9% better numbers on the PAT, and at a year-on-year growth level, 36.2%. So all in all, I must say a pretty reasonably good performance in terms of the financial performance of the company. And I move to the next slide, which gives you more information on the capex, the working capital, and the free cash flow. Working capital, certainly we see some increases that have happened in the second quarter, and as you can see here, 1,252 crores. Well, we are getting our hands around it, and currently we stand at about 20% of the sales, which has been a marginal increase over the previous quarter, but definitely we are confident that we have actions in place which is going to definitely address the working capital situation. Some concerns that were experienced during the second quarter was due to the account receivables being a little on the higher side, but that is something that we will get things back on track. Talk about CapEx, and the second quarter has been pretty strong, where our standalone in the quarter spend on CapEx as a percentage to sales went up to 8% compared to the previous quarters or the previous year as well, which used to be around 3.5-4%. So we have been able to increase our spend in the capacity expansions and the localization initiatives that we have been trying to do. And we expect that we will continue to sustain this kind of CapEx spend going forward as well. I did touch upon the free cash flow that we started off quarter one with a slightly lower free cash flow generation. But then we have bounced back in the second quarter, and we've been able to bring in almost 80 crores of cash into the system. Is that enough? Well, we continue to drive this, and we are confident that in the succeeding quarter, we will get back on track on the cash flow generation. With that, I move to the next slide, which is giving us the key figures on some of the performance indicators. And I would like to draw your attention to the column first, which is Q2 22, and then to the column which is titled as the 6 months 2022. And this is to draw a comparison at a 6 month period, even though the quarter has registered in terms of EBITDA margin, 18.6%, as you can see. At a six-month period, we are still at 19.2%, which is pretty good level to stay at. And the EBIT margin, which was at 15.7%, at a six-month period, we still stand at about 16.1%. Look at the revenue growth, and what you find is for the quarter, for the six-month period, we are now at 3,316 crores at the end of 6 months. And when you look down below at the PAT margin, for the six-month period, we are at a strong 13% profit after tax margin. So all in all, very good performance indicator that you see on the slide here for the quarter and for the six-month period. I now move to the two initiatives that I talked about and the events that we had in our journey towards ESG. Schaeffler being clearly committed in its targets towards getting to carbon neutrality. Our focus clearly remains on the environment, on the social, as well as on the governance aspect of how we run our business. Now, having said that, I would touch upon only the social part of the initiative and the environmental part of the initiative today. So as part of a global initiative, Schaeffler globally on 22nd of June had held an event called the Climate Action Day. And this was to get all the complete 88,000 employees across the globe to stop work for 90 minutes. Sit down as a team, broken into groups, get their heads together and identify opportunities. How can each one as an individual play a role in making this planet more greener? And that begins with each one of us. And there was a 90-minute workshop where each and every employee participated. And there was a lot of build-up to that workshop with a lot of preparatory workshops that were ran, number of facilitators that helped facilitate the workshops, and we had more than 100 sessions in India that was run. And as a result of this, 2,000 ideas that came out bottom up have all been captured. Now these are being assimilated and collated so as to draw clear action planning and then execution as to how Schaeffler India can contribute its might in a small bit towards the carbon neutrality journey that we are walking on. The second initiative is on the social side and the first of its kind within Schaeffler India. And the first time we engaged, with the Indian Institute of Ahmedabad, Management Ahmedabad, and we have launched a social innovator fellowship program wherein we have started to identify startups who specifically work on developing solutions for the need areas. And this is a social cause, not driven by a profit cause. And clearly we had our initiative that we kick-started in November last year, which culminated into 11 awardees coming and presenting and making a pitch to us. And I must say it was one of the most gratifying events. 600 applications received and we were able to put through a review mechanism there. The specific areas that we had targeted were education, health and nutrition, renewable energy, water conservation and waste management. And some of the winners, as you can see in the logos of their company displayed below, 11 awardees were finally awarded. And these awardees would be handled and coached by professors from the Indian Institute of Management, Ahmedabad, for a period of 3 to 6 months to enable them to scale up as well as to reach levels of excellence so that they can sustain the growth stories of these startups. This is one step in the direction where under our CSR initiative as well, we wish to participate more, promote more startups to grow in the country, thereby making India a better place and a better economy. So with all this, challenging quarter that we had in Q2, but yet we sustained our growth story because we stayed focused on the goal that we want to continue to grow our business with or esteemed customer, and it is equally important what we do and also important how we do. And there again comes in that we continue to sustain the countermeasures that we had already put in place to ensure that we stay committed on the targets that we have set to deliver to the market. Plus, we also continue our journey of localization as well as bringing in more product lines into India. And so our capital allocation continues to remain a priority, and we will continue to increase our investment strategy going forward. With all this, we stand committed that it's not just growth that we look for. We look for delivering a sustainable and responsible growth. At the same time, we also ensure that we stay focused on our customers. With that, I will end my presentation. Thank you.
Should we open the floor for Q&A session now?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the margins. It is noticed that the gross margins have declined compared to the previous quarter sequentially. So the larger question is, how does product mix affect the margins, and is there any element of pending pass-through of raw material costs?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Saraf, for the question. Satish Patel here. Yeah, as far as your question is concerned, slight decline in the gross margin this quarter vis-à-vis the last quarter. It is not impacted so much by the mix or other reasons. The impact is largely because of the provision for the input cost, mainly the steel price increase in the second quarter vis-à-vis the first quarter. It's more of a cost and the little bit of the inflation impact for some of the non-production materials that has also gone in the quarter two vis-à-vis quarter one. So yes, margin level is slightly lower in quarter two, but it is entirely attributable to this factor and not so much because of the mix.
So just in continuation with that, could you broadly give an explanation on which are the segments where we have an automatic kind of a formula-based pass-through, and which are the segments where we have to kind of negotiate a pricing increase?
So very good question. In fact, it's a mix of that. So we do have certain level of indexing for some of the businesses, mainly in automotive. And for some of the customers, it is negotiation-based. Last year, you would have actually noticed, and we had also briefed to our investors that we were able to pass on the significant portion of the input cost to our customers. The similar situation would remain this year as well. However, there is always a time lag between the cost impact on us and the recovery from the market. So this does play a little bit of a role when we look at the performance quarter on quarter. But as far as whole year is concerned, this should get eased out.
Got that. And my second question is on exports. We continue to see a strong momentum there. So could you maybe just give us an update on the export side of it in terms of, say, the kind of capacities we have, what's the kind of peak revenues we can do there, or any new markets, new products that we are looking to start in exports?
Yeah. So exports, we have been actually growing over the last few quarters. Export now contribute 16% of the total of our total revenue. As far as our exports are concerned, now we have been able to actually spread our wings across the globe. Exports are served to all the continents, including Asia Pacific and the North America and South America, where we had not so significant presence in the past. We have also expanded the product portfolio for exports. If I touch upon some of the, you know, products where we have been focusing more for exports are one-way clutch, Terol, CRBs, SRBs, CRBs. We have been quite strong already for exports. Then there are certain developments on the machine tool side, stacked bearings, LSBs, and angular contact bearings. All this product widening and the offerings actually helping in terms of the increase in the overall performance in exports. This has been quite well accepted both from the cost competitiveness point of view as well as the overall quality of the products that we produce, which are based in class.
Right. And there is no kind of a capacity constraint we have on these products for exports, right? I mean,
absolutely not.
Revenue we can do. Okay.
Absolutely not. Rather, we are building the capacities, and if you see our CapEx that we have spent close to 150 crore in the current quarter, which is quarter two of 2022, large portion of that is going towards the capacity, inclusive of the capacity for exports.
Right. I just have one last clarification, last thing to squeeze in. If I look at one of your slides, and you have covered it in this opening remarks also, with regards to business wins in the aftermarket segment. So I'm just not sure, in the aftermarket, how does business wins work? You know, do we kind of sell it to some large distributors, or how does it work?
Yes. Harsha Kadam here. Yes, we do work with some of the big distributors in the automotive aftermarket space. And rightfully, when we launch a new product, there is a lot of engaging that has to happen. These are new products where Schaeffler only plays the role of ensuring that we stand guarantee for the quality and performance of the product. So thereby, that needs a deeper engagement with our distributor and distribution partners, which we do. And definitely the rest of the works in terms of helping the distributors to get the product to the market, the entire marketing and promotional activities that we have to go through is all handled by the Schaeffler team.
Okay. Understood. Thank you. I'll get back. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Tulsian from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon, gentlemen. First question is pertaining to the auto aftermarket piece. Is this an observation that, you know, as you see a stronger growth in this, your gross margins do get impacted because some of those lubricants and other products are more of traded nature? So is that a fair conclusion, or, you know, otherwise the mix improvement should have been able to more than offset the raw material price increase that you saw, because both the exports as well as aftermarket piece grew faster in the quarter sequentially? So if you could just you know, help us build our understanding on this.
Yes, very good question. Let me just clarify there that the new business wins and the new products that we continue to add in our aftermarket story are not the only products that we bring out. Let me also, you know, apprise you that with the transition in technology that has happened from BS4 to BS6 in the year 2020, there has been new products that we have, you know, started to sell to the OEM customers to comply with the BS6 norms, correct? Whether it is bearings, whether it is clutches or transmission products, or the engine products itself. Now that the vehicles are on the roads for 2 years now, we see now the demand is also beginning to come in the aftermarket side for BS6 compliant products. And there too, we have started to expand and bring in a lot of this new products into the market, which I didn't touch upon because I thought we'll talk about the new product, but this is a continuous activity that we run. So just to give you the information that in the last quarter alone, we were able to bring in two different types of clutches complying with the BS6 norm in the market. We also brought in a front-end auxiliary drive kit and a timing kit, again, complying with the BS6 norm. We were also able to bring in some taper roller bearings, which met the conformances to the BS6 norm. So a host of products on the foundation product, if I may say so, are also being parallelly brought into the market. So the concern that the margin is going to drop, no, certainly the margins are going to be shored up by the foundation products that we continue to bring from our own manufactured plants. What does it help is to bring in a wider portfolio of offering to our customers because our customers expect that Schaeffler, as an engineering company, must be able to offer a wider plethora of products, and hence we begin to add more under the SNAP program that we run for the traded products.
Understood. So currently, volumes are low, so we are trading and the margins are not up to the mark, but as volumes increase, you will localize and margins will improve is what you are highlighting, right?
Certainly, and we will continue to keep the focus on our foundation products, which is manufactured from our own plants, because the need for these products is also very well accepted with the end users as well as the mechanics who service the vehicles. So we believe that, and we see that there is still a strong demand for the foundation products, and that is going to continue.
Sure. And just one more comment to what Harsha mentioned. I think we have never announced that margins are not up to the mark.
Exactly.
In automotive aftermarket business.
It's a perception.
It's more of a perception.
That's our inference, right? Sorry for that. Yeah. Okay. Second question, sorry, is on the content per vehicle. We usually share a roadmap where you mentioned starting from 33 euros. You had said it will nearly double over the next few years. Where are we right now in that journey? Where do we plan to reach by end of this year? And how far are we from that 70 euros per vehicle kind of a target what we had set for the company?
Yeah. Let me take that question. And my answer to you would be put this way. A couple of things that have happened I would like to highlight here. The first thing is Schaeffler India being nominated as one of the champions under the PLI scheme. And rightfully, as you know, the PLI was constituted fundamentally to encourage new investments to be made in the new sectors of electric vehicle technologies or emerging technologies. So rightfully, we have a clear strategy moving in that direction, and we have started to work on projects on the electric vehicle side with our customers, be it on the traction motor side or on the e-axle side, or some of the products, even foundation products, which have to be upgraded to participate in the electric vehicle programs. So we definitely are doing that, and there's a clear focus on bringing those new products and new technologies into the Schaeffler India portfolio. If I have to just quote, recently we were able to make a breakthrough with one new product called Input Shaft, and this is going to one of the prestigious customers in brand in India, and we are very proud to be associated with them for the electric vehicle and the hybrid vehicle that they are launching. So all in all, to cut the long story short, the content per vehicle is only set to increase. Now, if you were wanting to look at a number, where are we? Certainly, we are on the increasing trend. My conclusion would be that once we begin to deliver the electric vehicle offerings to the customers, the content per vehicle is just going to more than double. Why? Because the value of the product is more at a subsystem level, and we are moving from a component to a subsystem level. Obviously, our content per vehicle definitely is going to increase there.
So if you can give us where you are in the journey, any numerical indication that would help?
Well, at this point in time, I would desist from giving you a number, but you can be rest assured. I've been saying the number that we will get into the 40s and 50 euro per vehicle category, we are well on track on that. And with the launch of more and more products for the electric vehicle applications, you will find that the content per vehicle certainly is going to go up.
All right. Last question I have from my side is, of course, you know, it's been some while since the BS6 platform has been introduced. And as you highlighted, it has resulted in a lot of new products and new customer wins that we have been able to garner through this. So if you were to carve out a share of all these new products which came under the BS6 platform, what proportion of our sales would that be representing? Just idea is to compare whatever strong growth you've had in 2-3 years, how much of that is through new business wins and how much is through the existing product growth that you've had?
Well, I do not have the number right away here with me to, you know, clearly carve out and tell you how much of it is coming because of BS6. Fundamentally for the simple reason that there are various projects in the pipeline and they are, you know, getting into a business realization at various stages and various point of time. So as a result, we, you know, it's quite a bit of a challenge to measure that. But nevertheless, I take your point. We will try and find out what's the contribution due to the new products that we are launching for the BS6 or even for that matter, the new CAFE norms that is also going to kick in from 2023.
Thank you so much, Harsh and Satish, for taking this question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chaitanya Shah from Silver Line Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is broadly on exports. You know, given the in the light of situation of what's happening in Europe right now, you know, there was a law passed yesterday where you know, countries are going to reduce their gas consumption by 15%. Now, I just want to understand how it's going to affect the industrial activity in Europe, and does that present an export opportunity for the Indian subsidiary of the parent company?
Yeah, so if you understand the question correctly, Chaitanya, the question is that because of the current conditions in Europe, because of this 10 or 15% fuel inflation and other impacts because of the geopolitical conditions, what does it mean to us in terms of both risk as well as opportunity?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Chaitanya, I was trying to understand the last part of your question. When you talked about the parent company, can you clarify that a bit? I was trying to make sense of
In terms of export opportunity, I guess the parent company has a big manufacturing presence in Europe, right? So if that sort of gets affected, do you think that can be an export opportunity for the Indian company because of, you know, the temporary disruption in the industrial activity in Europe?
Okay, I get it now. Satish was saying, you know, the export business is something that is very strategic to us here in India. And we have a clear strategy for the next few years, depending on what product lines we want to manufacture in India. And accordingly, the investments are being made here as well. Obviously, it goes without saying that the intent is to leverage and capitalize on the cost competencies that we see in India. Going forward, this is already built into the strategy that some of the products that are being made in Europe would start to ship to India, and accordingly, the appropriate restructurings are being made there. So that's what there, and it will continue to happen. Now, over this, if we were to superimpose the situation there, the geopolitical situation in the West, well, would it accelerate? Would it decelerate the process? Well, we are not seeing any impact of that on definitely the Indian part of the business. Yes, definitely, I believe so, that it should augment and expose some more opportunity for us to export, considering the fact that the situation that Europe would be going through with the energy crisis which is hitting them. So probably I foresee that definitely the demand for exports would continue to be there for us as well. Obviously, because we do not have an energy crisis situation in our country here, but Europe definitely is going to face a lot more of it going forward.
Also wanted to understand in terms of cost competitiveness globally, where would the Indian companies stand, you know, vis-a-vis the other parts of the world where the parent has a manufacturing presence?
Yeah, of course. India is best cost country, and we are able to leverage the benefit of the cost competitiveness that we have. But that certainly also depends on the product profile, where we have the critical mass and the competition exists. Competencies. So the products that I actually mentioned before, just few minutes before, all the products we have been developing and actually present in India for quite long time now. And we have been able to further add to these products some new products like XCL TRBs, then RNRN, IBB, yes. And then we have LSBs and stack bearings. These are the new addition to this product profile. All of them have been actually quite cost-wise, quite cost-effective compared to the global similar type of, for the similar type of products, the global cost. So this is a base cost location, and that's what has gone in the strategy as well. And that therefore India, or the Safe for India, is becoming a global manufacturing hub for standard as well as the mid-size bearings.
Yeah. Just to add to what Satish said, well, cost is one dimension that we look at, but I think he also touched upon a brief point, and I did not cover that in my presentation, but I definitely, since the question has come up, I would like to answer that we are investing into our R&D and engineering competency setup here in India as well, consistently. And this year, significant investments we are making in terms of our engineering capability on some specific product lines. And what we see is India definitely already has the base. The building blocks are already there for these product lines. And I would not be wrong in saying that for some of these product lines, the intellectual competencies would be here from India to the rest of the world, Schaeffler world. So we look at it from multiple dimensions. One is cost competitiveness, obviously. The engineering capabilities and the design capabilities available in the country. Not to mention, of course, you know, other factors as well, which is ease of doing business, which is the government's initiatives, where which is also playing a role here as such. So all in all, you know, it's a multitude of factors that actually enables us to, you know, look at it. I'm not saying India is the only country in the best cost basket. There are a few other countries like Vietnam, we do definitely do have. But certainly for some product lines, we believe that India definitely has an edge when compared to the other best cost countries.
And those are the where factories in Europe have increasing costs, whereas factories in India have good experience of manufacturing experience.
Okay, all right. That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vithlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just continuing on the previous questions. If you could just help us with the opportunity from the mechatronics, because that's where globally Schaeffler has talked about where they see a significant opportunity. What role could India play and where are we in that journey?
Thank you for that question. And yes, we are clearly focused on leveraging the mechatronics competency that exists in India, and rightfully so, we have started to expand our footprint in India. Currently, we have close to about 130 to 150 people already on board working on various projects supporting the Schaeffler world globally. So currently, the team here in India is catering to all the work that has been that was being done in Europe. A lot of work is now beginning to flow into India, and both the software and the hardware developments have started to happen from the mechatronics center here in our Pune facility. Having said that, does it mean that Schaeffler India would not leverage this? No, certainly we definitely would be leveraging this competency that is now available with us. And as I already shared earlier, that in our journey towards, you know, delivering products and solutions to the electric mobility sector, obviously it goes without saying that we have to develop local solutions with global competency and knowledge, and with at local cost competitiveness as well. So there are a spate of projects that have been listed down, which we have started to engage with the Mechatronics Center, trying to leverage so that, you know, the Mechatronics Center is not just a global offshoring center, but going forward, certainly we will have a better traction in terms of leveraging this competence that is already being invested in.
Thank you. The second question is on the wind segment. Globally, the OEMs have reported losses because of cost inflation, and we are ramping up this segment and we are localizing it. But if you could just help us, how are we placed in this, and are we also getting impacted because of the cost inflation that the OEMs are facing?
Well, I am not able to answer on behalf of the OEMs, but what I can definitely answer is what we see. And yes, the OEMs would be coming under cost pressures, particularly with the input cost going up across all the sectors. I don't think wind is the only sector. Every sector was impacted with the input costs going up. One of the changes of that you will see is, and you continue to see is, investments from the wind customers are not reduced. They continue to invest in capacities in India, as they are also going the same way of leveraging the best cost country to manufacture here in India the wind equipments and export them out of India. Now, is this going to remain? Well, it needs to be, you know, watched. Well, every organization is now trying to find its way to see how do we manage the input cost pressures. I'm sure the wind segment, in the wind segment too, the same thought prevails. Having said that, we do see definitely that there is a growth in the wind sector. The investments do come in. It could have slowed down when compared to the same period last year, but then definitely wind continues to still see growth. One other factor that we must keep in mind is the government's agenda to go green. And clearly with the Hydrogen Council that has already been formed, the production and demand for green hydrogen would only continue to go up. Having said that, both wind and solar, I believe, is going to play a key role going forward, even within India. I have been reading some places that the wind tariffs might go up, wind power tariffs might go up. Well, if that happens, surely that's a big booster for the wind segment and more investments to come in right now, which is being ruled by the solar energy sector. So I believe that the wind definitely has a strong growth future in India as well going forward. And what we are passing through, or what the wind segment is passing through, could be only an interim phase that we are passing through.
Sure. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. So you just spoke about some challenges in manufacturing in Europe. Given that, is there a relook at our three-year CAPEX plan of 1,000 crores that we had outlined earlier?
Yeah, yeah, we stay on course with what outlay on CAPEX that we have announced, 1,000 crores. This year, we are going to invest close to 450 crores. We already invested 200 crores CAPEX for the first two quarters or first half was already close to 200 crores. We would spend another 250 crores in the second half, 450. Last year we had over 200, and in next year we would have even higher capex outlay. So 3 years, 1,000 crore. We still keep the same sort of overall target, and we are very much on track on that. We are very much on track, and we would be investing accordingly.
Yeah, but just to add,
planning to raise it.
Shyam, just to answer that and add to what Satish just said, we are not ruling out the possibility to do a course correction upwardly as the need arises.
Okay.
We will do it. Yeah. Right now, we believe that this is good enough for us to go because capex spend has to be judicious and we are being judicious.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, it was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Gauri Kanikar for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. If you have any further queries, please do reach out to me on gauri.kanikar@schaeffler.com. We now conclude the call. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Schaeffler India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.